Good afternoon, members. Mr. Secretary, can you please call the roll?
Allen, Archuleta, Atkins, Bates, Bell, Borges, Bradford, Caballero, Chang, Daly, Dodd, Durazo, Galgiani, Glazer, Gonzalez, Grove, Hertzberg, Hill, Hueso, Hurtado, Jackson, Jones, Leyva, McGuire, Mitchell, Monning, Moorlock, Morrell, Nielsen, Pan, Portantino, Roth, Rubio, Skinner, Stern, Umberg, Wieckowski, Wiener, Wilk.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. A quorum is present. We welcome you back on this election week here in the Golden State with the members and our guests beyond the rail and in the gallery. Please rise. We're going to be led in prayer this afternoon by our guest chaplain. We are grateful that Sister Libby Fernandez is back with us, founder of Mercy Peddlers. After which, I'm going to ask that each of you remain standing. We're going to be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by Senator Durazo. Sister?
Let us pray. All-knowing and all-powerful God, we remember that March is Women's History Month. Thank you for all of the cherished women in our lives and in our histories, mothers, sisters, friends, neighbors, and co-workers. Let us remember and reflect on the heritage and the struggles of women throughout the ages. May we, men and women, seek to learn from all those voices and actions of the past by crafting new ways of inclusion and equality. May this month of reflection teach us to search for those stories that are different from our own. And may we bring out the voices such as Mae Jemison, the first African-American astronaut, with her words, "Never limit yourself because of others' limited imagination. Never limit others because of your own limited imagination." Amen.
Colleagues, join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to
the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
God bless. Thank you. Senators, it's a privilege to be able to have a former president of the Senate here, former Treasurer of the State of California and Attorney General, can we please give a warm Senate welcome to Senator Bill Lockyer? Mr. Pro Tem, we welcome you back to the chambers. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, Senator Manning has a very special presentation. He has brought 20 students to be honored here today. We're going to ask that the students come on forward here to the steps. If we could have the sergeants help guide the students forward.
Come in and go along the back here. Thank you. There you go.
Senator Manning in school color tie today. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I ask that you please join me today in welcoming to the Senate chamber an impressive group of students from my district who are all studying at Cal Poly State University in San Luis Obispo. This delegation includes some of Cal Poly's most exceptional student leaders, many who have achieved success in national competitions in their respective fields of study, and who have received educational awards at the state and national levels. The students are joined today by Cal Poly's president, Dr. Jeffrey Armstrong, who served as president at Cal Poly since 2011, and under his guidance and leadership, Cal Poly continues to shine as one of the gems of the CSU system. He's joined today by his wife, Sharon. Members, please join me in welcoming President Mr. Armstrong and this outstanding group of students.
On behalf of the entire State Senate, go Mustangs. We're grateful that you're here today. We're going to gather for an official Senate photograph. We have several staff alumni who are proud of to be cut from Cal Poly. Thank you all for being here. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, we're going to take a quick pause, allow senators to be able to greet our honored guests on the floor, and we'll be right back with you. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, we'd like to be able to move forward within our file here today. Messages from the governor will be deemed read. Messages from the assembly will be deemed read. Reports of committee will be deemed read and amendments adopted. We're now moving forward with motions, resolutions, and notices. Any individuals would like to be able to present under motions, resolutions, and notices? Hearing and seeing none, we're now going to be moving forward to the consideration of the daily file. We have one item, item 15. Senator Dodd is prepared to present. Mr. Secretary, can you please read?
Senate Resolution 78 by Senator Dodd, relative to Problem Gambling Awareness Month.
Members, if we can have your attention, please. Senator Dodd, the floor is yours.
Mr. President, members, as chair of the Senate GO Committee, I'm proud to present Senate Resolution 78, which recognizes March of 2020 as Problem Gambling Awareness Month in the state of California. Although most people are able to gamble responsibly, for some it becomes a devastating addiction that affects not only the individual, but their loved ones as well. Fortunately, gambling addiction is treatable. That is why during the month of March, organizations throughout the state come together to educate the public and healthcare professionals about the warning signs of problem gaming. This resolution will raise awareness about the help that is available both locally and nationally for problem gamblers and their families. I want to thank all 16 members of the Senate GO Committee for authoring this resolution with me. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Members, is there any discussion or debate on the floor? Senator Pan, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senators. I too rise in strong support of this resolution. I want to thank my good friend from Napa for bringing this forward. As Vice Chair of the API Legislative Caucus, gambling is a big challenge in the API community. We don't quite have the social stigma or cultural stigma against gambling. However, this does lead to challenges when people do get into the trap of problem gambling. Oftentimes, our communities are targeted by establishments that want to promote gambling because of the lack of cultural stigma against gambling. So we need to ensure that there's both recognition and awareness of problem gambling, as well as the availability of help for families that are struggling and for people who are struggling with this. I urge an aye vote on this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Pan. Senators, is there any additional discussion or debate on the floor? Discussion or debate on the floor? Hearing and seeing none, Mr. Secretary, can you please call the roll?
Allen. Aye. Archuleta. Aye. Atkins. Aye. Bates. Aye. Bell. Aye. Borges. Bradford. Aye. Caballero. Aye. Chang. Daly. Aye. Dodd. Aye. Durazo. Aye. Galgiani. Aye. Glazer. Gonzalez. Aye. Grove. Hertzberg.
Aye.
Aye. Hill. Aye. Wesso. Hurtado. Aye. Jackson. Aye. Jones. Leyva. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Mitchell. Monning. Aye. Moorlach. Morrell. Aye. Nielsen. Aye. Pan. Aye. Portantino. Roth. Aye. Rubio. Aye. Skinner. Stern. Aye. Umberg. Aye. Wykowski. Wiener. Aye. Wilk. Aye.
Mr. Secretary, can you please move the call? Members, we're now moving forward to motions and resolutions. We're going to jump back to that. This is now time to be able to address the body and your adjourned memories. Senator Archuleta, are you prepared to be able to present? Senator Archuleta, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. President. My fellow senators, I address you today with a sad, sad heart. Most of us who have friends that we've grown up with, and some have become sisters, more so than your own sisters, brothers that become brothers that even more so than you have had in your lives. I lost a brother. And some of you may know I served with the Montebello Police Department, and one of my partners that I served with for 10 years, that we shared our families together, our friendships together. I was godfather to his son, and we just grew closer and closer as the years went by. He had my back, I had his, and stories and memories I have will last forever. But his name is Oney Garcia, and I would tease him, and everybody would tease him. It's not Tony, it was Oney with an O. Oney Garcia, proud veteran, Marine. But I want to share a little bit about his history. He was born in 1949, March 3rd, 1949. And in the police department, when we lose one, we call that end of watch. Well, Oney had his end of watch not too long ago on February 25th. And I was able to visit with him at the hospital. I was able to visit with him on his very last day, or his very first day at home before he passed away in his own home. And I was actually, when a lot of us were having fun watching the Super Bowl, I was there at the hospital as his bedside. So he and I watched the game together, and I would poke him every so often to try and keep him awake, trying to get him to smile after this terrible, terrible stroke that he had. And when I first went to see him the first time, he couldn't eat. So his wife said, he's not eating. So I poked at him and I said, Oney, come on, buddy, you got to eat. So I grabbed a banana and I peeled it and I said, here, eat that. And he reached up very weakly and he took a good bite. And I said, here, have some soup. So he was able to eat a little bit, but it was never enough. As the days went on, he was in the hospital for a few weeks. As the days went on, he got weaker and weaker. And he leaves behind his family, his wife, Haiti Garcia, who was also a member of the Montebello Police Department, and she was a detective. And of course, we always teased Oney about don't get a shootout with your wife at home because she'll outshoot you. And so we teased about them, but they were the Garcia families that both wore the badge, both wore the guns, and both were there to protect and serve the communities. But let me go on, if I may. He had a history of educating his children. He especially loved to teach his children about the military and about law enforcement and the commitment about God and country. He loved his neighbors and dogs up and down the street. Always used to love to see Oney because he would always have food for the dogs. He would, you know, and he was just a great guy, a great neighbor. And he loved his oldie but goodies. He loved old cars, and he was always talking about his 49 Chevrolet pickup truck that he was not able to finish restoring. And talk about a mixture of things. His mother was Mexican-American. His father was Cuban. And so he had that ability to love the Latino spice, the food, and everything else. He survived with three brothers, his wife, as I mentioned, Heidi, his children, Yvette, Janina, Oney, Cam, Adam, and Esteban, 14 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren. And I'm also especially proud not only of his family, but him, what he's given us, his military service. He served in the United States Marine Corps from 1967 to 71, being honorably discharged as the rank of sergeant. He went on to serve in the Marine Corps Reserves in 1971. He couldn't get enough of wearing the uniform, so he went ahead and joined the Air Force Reserve from 1974 to 75. And when they wouldn't let him fly any airplanes, he got upset and he said, I'll join the Navy. Maybe they'll let me drive a boat. So he joined the Navy Reserve from 1976 to 77. Well, that wasn't enough. He said, well, maybe the Army National Guard will let me drive a tank. So he joined the Army National Guard from 1980 to 82. But he did so much. He loved this great country, and he was a great partner with me in Montebello PD. But he went on to serve the Inglewood Police Department and Senator, your city. And he served in 1971 in Inglewood. And his son, Cam, is now an officer there in Inglewood, following his footsteps. He was a member of Union Local 250, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. He was in that union for 42 years. And he graduated from Rio Hondo Police Academy in 1981 and served with Montebello Police from 1981 to 97. And I just want to, if I may, just a short note from his daughter that she sent me, that she had written a few lines, and I think we all can relate to this. She called him Papa. Papa, how I miss you. I want one more walk with you, one more chat, one more hug, a kiss from my Papa. My heart and soul ache from losing you and my brother. Yes, Oney lost his oldest son, Oney Jr. So she writes, I miss my Oneys. I don't think I could ever understand why you both had to leave so soon. Thank you for being such a great dad that made his children feel like they can do anything and just anything they wanted they could achieve. You didn't believe in excuses. You taught us all things that were possible. Your accomplishments speak for themselves. You found pride in working hard and never letting anything or anyone get in your way. Your quest for knowledge was a great gift. You simply loved to learn. And I always asked that everyone, that if you wanted to know something, just ask my dad. Your service to our country was amazing. 4 honorable discharges. Dad, we're going to miss you. I will forever love my Papa. So I will forever miss my brother, because sometimes your best friend will be closer to you than your own brother, even your own sister. So, end of watch, Oney. God love you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Senator, for that very personal adjourned memory. And if you could please bring the paperwork up and please accept our deepest condolences. On this item, Senator Rubio, would you like to present?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, President and members. I also want to adjourn on behalf of the memory of Oney Garcia. He was my constituent, and he resided in the city of Covina. But most importantly, I want to offer my condolences to the great Senator of Pico Rivera. I know he was your longtime friend, and we feel your heart at this moment. So thank you for bringing it forward. I also want to send the condolences to the family, his daughter, as you shared, and want to thank him for his service to this country and the police department. So I also add an adjourning in memory of this great man. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Senator Rubio. Members, we now would like to be able to recognize Senator Pan for our next adjourned memory.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senators, today I rise to adjourn memory of Patrick Mularkey, who passed away Tuesday at the age of 88. His passing was a great loss for the people of Sacramento. He was truly an outstanding public servant. He served as a member of the Sacramento Board of Supervisors from 1971 to 1979. And Dr. Mularkey brought attention to a number of critical issues like environmental health and historic preservation. Dr. Mularkey headed a successful dental practice. He gave his heart to the poorest among us. He was known for fixing the teeth of poor people who crossed his path at no cost. He was also the owner of a popular tavern on Broadway called Mularkey's Place, where people gathered to listen to music and enjoy adult beverages. I'm not sure how that went with the teeth. His friends, family, and the Sacramento community will always remember his intellect, his humor, and his integrity. And we will miss him greatly. Please join me in adjourning in memory of Patrick Mularkey. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Senator Pan. And please send our deep condolences to the family. Members, we'd like to turn the floor over to Senator Nielsen.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, we have the opportunity here, and I have the particular pleasure of doing this adjourn in memory with my esteemed colleague from the Assembly, Ken Cooley. He just adjourned the Assembly in honor of Doug Holland. Doug is one of ours, worked many years here for us, for the people of California, one who really knew the institution. He came from Minnesota. He traveled a long ways to end up here in the California State Legislature. We're very lucky that he did. He was a radar operator in the United States Air Force, did his time in defense of our land. He also then started a private security company. He is a man of many diverse talents and an entrepreneur, which is a courageous risk taker. All things don't work out, but his did. But he still decided at one time that he would come here and serve the people in this esteemed institution. He was a chief consultant in the Assembly Republican Office of Policy for years, and when I briefly served in that house, I had the pleasure of working with him again. He had a son who was lost, a grandson, Dustin, and that's a tough challenge for any of us to have got to contend with. He was a devoted leader of the crime victims movement, an advocate of those often forgotten Americans and Californians. He worked on legislation that was named Dustin's Law, honoring his grandson. He worked within his community to support countless community activities to make that community better for all. So he served in many ways, many capacities, and Doug Holland affected many lives. One of the special traits he had was his institutional knowledge and how to fit that knowledge together for the constructive purposes of these times. A lot of people do not want to look back. They look at their own bill today, and it's the first they ever saw, and it's the best idea that ever was. Well, many things went on before, and Doug Holland would always quietly, politely remind us of the successes and the failures of former attempts. That is the mark of a true quality consultant. Untimely, he passed away recently, and he made it through the year, but we have lost him. His lovely Jane is here with us today. They were married many, many years. He was preceded in death by the grandson, Dustin, for which that Dustin's Law was named. and he has many other children and grandchildren. One of his daughters-in-law is holding in the back his youngest. And what a blessing to have that young man here to be recognized and acknowledged in the state Senate. And someday I know the family will bring that to his attention. How precious. And they can know where his grandfather so nobly served the people of the state of California. Ladies and gentlemen, Doug Holland was just a good man with a good heart, a caring heart, and he dedicated his lives to improving the lives of others, very particularly his very own family. We know that God has a home in heaven for him and his house of many mansions. May Doug be comforted there and his family be comforted here, and may our prayers lift them up as they grieve his passing. Doug Holland, a true Californian, one of the legislature's best.
Thank you, Senator Nielsen, and to the Holland family. We are so sorry for your loss. We are grateful that you are here with us today. And thank you, Senator Nielsen, for advancing that adjournment memory. Members, we now would like to be able to go back to announcements. Senator Leyva, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good afternoon, members. I just wanted to point out that this is the beginning of Women's History Month, and you each have a calendar on your desk. You can order these from Senate Reaper Graphics, and where it has my name, you may have them put your name. People love them in the district. Every day has fun facts. So today, March 2nd, one of the fun facts is about Anna Saylor, who sponsored the bill that ended the death penalty for those under 18. So women have been doing good work for a very long time. I would highly encourage that you order some of these and take them to your district. They're fun to give out at events and people like them. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you so much, Senator Leyva. Members, we do have a resolution that is currently on call. We'd like to be able to lift the calls. Mr. Secretary, can you please call the absent members?
Borges, Chang, Glazer, Grove, Wesso, Jones, Mitchell, Moorlock, Portantino, Skinner, Wykowski.
Aye.
Aye.
Ayes 29, noes 0. The resolution is adopted. If there is no other business, ladies and gentlemen, Senator Atkins, the desk is clear.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, thank you. I will see you on Thursday, March 5th, 2020, at 9:30. I want to make sure you hear 9:30. It's a little different than regular Thursday. So we will see you at 9:30. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Madam Pro Tem. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate will be in recess until 3:30 p.m., at which time the adjournment motion will be made. We're going to reconvene Thursday at 9:30. Once again, 9:30 a.m. on Thursday. Get out to vote tomorrow starting at 7 a.m.